For those who prefer their car's rocket power, flying in high with no boost, but holding on to the dream. It's Knox Phoenix, Ninja Seb Fan, and Vodka Ice coming to you live from Manfield.
Oh man, 119, 1 week late, right boys?
Yeah, always.
We'd love to tell you what happened, but there was... We got into like a Martian situation on our Mars recording studio, and we lost all contact and all of our people and stuff, and...
It all went bad.
Ninja had to make potatoes with his poo. Poo dirt. Yeah. He had to make poo dirt, and we grew potato and ate nothing but potatoes all week. And so we lost. Here's the funny thing, right? You didn't have an episode last week, and you know, our bad. But we did record an episode last week, and gents, it was a good one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was like a real. It was probably the best episode we've ever recorded.
Yeah,
by far.
By far, indeed. That third voice, of course, joining us once again is Vodka Ice. But hey, we may have made an oopsie last week, but not as big as an oopsie as Horizon Airlines did this last week, huh, boys?
What happened with Horizon Airlines?
Oh, my pleasure to tell you if you haven't heard.
That'd
All right,
be great.
Let's talk about the story about how 28-year-old Russell.
I did hear about this.
28-year-old Russell just decided that he wanted to just, you know, maybe take a joyride in a plane. So he did. He stole a 78-passenger jet and flew right out of the SeaTac airport in Seattle. And wow, he flew that thing for quite a bit.
He really did.
Did he crash land it or did he actually land it?
Oh no, he died. He's not alive anymore. But
crashed.
I do have some reasons why this man is my personal hero. Because he definitely is my hero. All right. So I have here some quotes from
Russell Peters.
I have some quotes here from Russell Peters. I pretty much got the whole transcript of his radio. All of his radio discussion. So I'm just going to give you some of the highlights. And I'm going to do so I've actually watched countless, I became a little bit obsessed this past week and watched several videos, and I've listened to the original audio this radio. So I'm going to do my best to just kind of impersonate Russell here.
Okay. I'm ready for this.
Quotes from his his little joyride in this two-engine jet here. All right, this is Russell. Oh man, I'm down to 2,100. Started at like 30 something. You said you only had 2,100 pounds of fuel left. Yeah, I don't know what burnout is on like takeoff, but yeah, it's burned quite a bit faster than I expected. Yes. Okay. Here we go. Russell, apparently the ground's crewman with Horizon, I guess, and he's just flying around. He needs some help controlling his aircraft. No, man, I don't need that much help. I've played some video games before.
I heard the audio recording of that part, and that was priceless.
Oh my goodness.
Does that basically explain like every race car video game driver?
I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, there's a factorial of questions that comes to mind. All right, we know how he had access to the aircraft, right?
Because he was a mechanic at the airport. Yes.
All right. But why was no one on the plane? I've never seen an empty plane before. So there's that part of things.
His job, he's supposed to bring the plane to a specific location with a vehicle. Like, you know those vehicles that
I don't know. The taxi.
Yeah, yeah. So it, okay, he brought the plane somewhere, and I guess he took off because no one was with it except for him, because that was how fair it was.
I wish my job was that easy, just to steal airplanes.
Apparently.
I think they messed up somewhere.
There's a whole host of steps where they, I mean, hey, boys in the tower, how's it going? Oh, that, wait, hang on a second. Little blip on my radar screen. There's a plane turning onto this runway. hey, flight 74X exclamation mark niner. Could you, like, not? Oh, man, I'm just gonna take it up real fast. I'll bring it back. Like, how about no? And then they put emergency vehicles on the runway. I don't know. Maybe there's that. like, something a lot, maybe some sort of like auto shutdown, remote shutdown for a plane that before it takes off. I don't know. That seems like a pretty good idea. But no, instead, he gets up in the air and we get wonderful moments like this. Yeah, I'd like to figure out how to get this cabin out to the, like, you know, where the box. Could you get me some, like, make it pressurized or something so I'm not so lightheaded? What's your altitude? Yeah, I don't know, like, anything about the autopilot. I'm just kind of hand flying right now.
Oh. Just imagine being like an actual pilot having to listen to this on the other end of the radio.
I mean, as a pilot,
the audio is hilarious because the controller is so calm and collected, and Russell is this whole time just saying things about like how he doesn't want to mess anyone's day up. Like several times he goes like, man, I'm real sorry if this is messing your whole day up. Like, I'm sorry about that. And then at one point, they try to get him to land at the Air Force base with a gigantic runway. And he says, and I quote, oh, man, those guys would rough me up if I tried landing there. I think I might mess something up there, too. I don't want to do that. And, oh, you know what? They probably got anti-aircraft there.
I swear.
Oh, hey, this is a pretty big oopsie, but would you do it?
Yes.
I don't know.
You're at an airport. There's I'm like a runway yes. That's just like empty because it's like not prime time for flights, and you're sitting in the cockpit of a plane. There's no one else there. And, would you do it?
I wouldn't know where to start.
All right. The ending exchange I want to give you with is pretty amazing.
Okay.
All right. So they're trying to get him to land over and over again. And he goes, all right. Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do like a backflip, you think?
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm going to land it, like, in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'm just going to go, like, nose down, call it a night.
He actually pulled off the barrel roll, though. Yes!
If you watch the freaking video, he takes this freaking commercial airliner jet and does a successful barrel roll and pulls out of it and flies for, like, another, like, 15 minutes.
And he called it a night.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the impressive part. How can you be that good? Like, he must have gotten lessons.
He's a mechanic.
There is a point where he says, like, hey, you think if I pull this off, like, they're going to give me a job as a pilot? Like, the man is very much dead, and I feel sorry for him and his family, but... Like,
this whole story is funny.
He's my personal hero, mainly because I could be him. Here's the deal: we all have those days where, you know, work just kind of gets to you. People just—it seems like they're all just there to push your buttons. No one's looking out for good old Knox. And I swear, I'm just like an inch from my breaking point, and I'm not like, you know, prone to suicidal thoughts. But if I hit my breaking points, I will do something rash like steal an airplane, do barrel rolls, and talk to the pilot about maybe not about going seeing the Olympics because the weather's nice. Because that's That's Russell. Hey, welcome to Live from Manfield, a Rocket League podcast, if you haven't guessed already, where it's a drug-dealing front to hide our podcast business in all actuality. This week is the week that we announce it. It's official. Our number third full-time host, Vodka Ice.
That's right.
Hey, guys.
Transitioning from... it's been a long road. It's proof that we have a career path here at the studio. We promote within. You started out janitorial services. You then got promoted to team management. You then got demoted again for a little oopsie back to janitorial services. And now we bring you up to the big leagues, podcast host. Those are the only three jobs we have here, though.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
What was my oopsie? I forgot about that.
I forget too.
I don't know.
Boy, that's some
remember.
Good improv, boys. That's some good improv. I forget. Man, I'm just still stuck thinking about good old Russell. If I could be honest, and how much fun that just should have been. I wish it was me.
Did I steal an airplane and survive too?
Then you know, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
We have some news. Oh, wait, no, hang on. Before some news, we have to officially swear you in. But before we can swear you in, we got to take you through your initiation. We got to make sure that you pass all the tests and, we check all things off the list, make sure you're ready.
That's right.
So we prepared a couple tests for you. Number one is you have to be really good at puns. Today's topic started out with airplanes. So you got to think on your toes, come up with a pun about airplanes right now. Go.
Honestly, terrible with puns.
Oh, come on. Just fly by the seat of your pants. Come up with a plain joke. Just wing it. Oh, come on now. Oh, all right. All right. Here, I gave you three.
I'm already out. See you guys next week.
Shame.
All right, Ninja, what's another test?
All right, another test. Oh, boy.
Improv, Ninja, improv.
Are we going with planes here?
What's two plus two? Four.
No, this is whatever it takes to be a good host on Live from Manfield. We have to make sure he's ready. We can't just pass this torch on to anyone.
All right,
do I have to be good at math?
No. In fact, if you're good at math, we would fire you.
Well, so, two plus two is five, so.
Okay, that's perfect. That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Okay, so there are moments on the show when... when there are two people conversing back and forth, and sometimes they're getting close to an argument, and you've got to step in and defuse the situation, but make it seem, you know, like it was a scripted moment in the show, and kind of just defuse the situation and get us to our next talking point. So, Ninja and I are going to pretend like we're about to argue, and then, depending on the topic, we might actually argue. You got to step in and you got to fix it. And get us to our next topic. So, Ninja, it is pronounced GIF, graphic interchange format. I don't know what you've been told, but...
The creator said that it was GIF, okay.
I don't care what the creator said. The thing about it is that it's the graphic interchange format.
Graphic.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense now. You're just messing with the English language.
Hey, Knox.
Yeah, what's up, bud?
You better stop before I fire you and...
All right, you know, that works. Hey, that works. Welcome to the team, Vodka Ice. Let's get to some of the news. We have 2 weeks worth of news to bring you. Good thing we're pretty well versed in talking about most of this stuff because we did it last week and didn't get you that audio. Good old Russell stole our tapes, brought them up in the plane with them, crashed that bad boy into an island in Seattle. So sorry we couldn't get you those audio clips. Gosh, I'm just embodying the Russell character.
You do sound
episode.
A lot like him, though.
I don't know. Don't know why. That's happening. Hey, let's talk about something that was announced last week. It's kind of old news to a lot of people, but it was new when we were recording. it was discovered and confirmed on Twitter and Reddit that the Singularity and Mainframe black market items can come painted from the crates.
That is right.
If you remember from our last episode, we did a lot of math about that, about the rarity, because they actually released official numbers on the drop rates within the crates, and it was, 1% for black market stuff And so we deduced, they said it was even for whatever tier item you're getting. And since there are four black market items, you get a 0.25% of getting the item that you want if you unlock that sought after black market item. But this whole idea that there is, one, a black market decal that can come painted, which is crazy. And two, the first time ever that we can get a goal explosion to be painted, not a color variant, but an actual painted explosion.
Okay.
That introduced some interesting odds, didn't it, boys?
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
Crazy odds. Odds that hurt.
Odds that, yes, that definitely hurt.
Hey, Knox.
The wallet.
Yeah, what's up?
How am I supposed to be bad at math but have to do math?
Oh, we rely on people on Reddit to do the math for
That's
us.
That's right.
We steal True. Their math and credit it to us.
Okay, good job, guys.
Definitely.
And since we don't have any fact checkers here at Live from Manfield, as has become very apparent on Twitter, thank you very much, listening audience. Whenever we make a mistake about something, just, boy, it's almost like you guys have
let us have
your tweets open when you listen to the show if we say something wrong, huh? How about that, boys? 0.0625% to get a painted singularity. So that's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a 25% chance to get a painted variant of something. That's a 0.25% chance to get the singularity. So 0.0625% chance.
Yeah.
So that's also for like mainframe as well. Now it gets crazy because let's say you want like a white one, right? You want that like white singularity, which I've seen the pictures of or the videos of. It doesn't look much different than normal singularity. It just has a little bit more of a glow.
Okay.
That's a 0.0048% chance. 1 in 20,800 chance to get like the single color of the painted explosion or mainframe that you want. So
wow.
Knox.
Yeah.
If I ever get that, you might as well just buy me a lottery ticket.
Well, it's not quite to the odds of the lottery yet, but
I mean, if my luck's already that high, might as well buy a new one.
Let's continue talking about it because here's the deal. Reddit user GX Titan took this math a little bit further than we were willing to take it because he had a calculator handy.
Okay.
And he said,
we don't have those numbers.
That you might, let's say you want to get a painted and certified singularity. All right. Well, that's a 0.01% chance, 6,400. Now this is where it gets fun because everyone wants that striker white singularity or that striker white mainframe, right?
Yes.
Your odds are 0.0007% chance in getting the striker white singularity goal explosion. That is a 1 in 1,248,000 chance. We're getting towards lotto odds there, boys.
Wow.
That means you could actually open you could spend $1 million opening crates and you still would not have the odds in your favor to unlock a striker white singularity.
Wow.
But there's always going to be that one person who opens their first ever crate and opens that.
Yep. It's indeed true.
We all know your chances get like tripled when that happens.
I would love to tell you what painted mainframe looks like. A lot of people thought that it might have been a bug. They did this with the Toon Goal explosion a while back. It came painted, but then Cyanix was like, hey, sorry, that's a bug. That's not supposed to be painted.
Yeah.
And they just like took away that attribute or whatever. They did confirm that mainframe is supposed to be painted, and people are getting painted versions of it, but there's a bug currently in this version that turns off the color variant. Makes it not display properly, just looks like normal mainframe.
Right.
So there are people sitting on a lot of painted variants of mainframe, and they have no clue what it looks like yet. And none of us do. So people have unlocked these items with Alpha Console and put them on their cards and stuff, and we have no idea what the different painted variants of mainframe looks like. I'm really interested to see, because maybe I'll want to pick one of those up, but we'll have to wait for the next patch. It said the fix is coming in the next update.
Yes. Which, while we're on that topic, they said August 100%. Do we think this week? Or, well, when do we think it's coming out?
Let's say end of
August.
I'm giving it, in 2 weeks from now.
I think 2 weeks is safe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, you know, the 28th.
We get the announcement this week or next week of most of the stuff coming out.
Right. And what all is going to be in the August update?
In the August update, we're getting... so they kind of announced this. So we were expecting Rocket Pass... we were expecting Rocket Pass XP update and cross-platform in this update, and they announced this week, or last week, that cross-platform will not be in this update, that it's getting pushed back a little further.
I think it's interesting what they have named the cross-platform party feature.
Rocket ID?
Rocket ID.
I think it's cool. It goes with it.
So I'm worried that we're going to get into this weird kind of situation. We're going to get into a McDonald's situation where Rocket League just has its own sort of branding on everything. You know, we got the McRib, we got the McNuggets, we got the, you know, the McDouble. Yeah, we got the Rocket ID, we got the Rocket Pass. It's weird. It's going to be weird to call everything the
Rocket something. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. So, they kind of talked about what's coming up in this August update. They said it's going to have the big changes to progression, which is going to be the XP.
Oh, yeah!
Which we knew is coming up. And they said that...
Give me more!
They said that a week after that, they're going to release Rocket Pass. So Rocket Pass is not...
Woo!
Rocket Pass is not coming out right away with the new level XP update, but...
What?
It's coming up the week right after.
Yeah!
We know give Nox me is one. We know Nox is happy about this.
Give me another one.
That's it for the next update.
Oh man.
But so you guys might be wondering why is Rocket Pass delayed now? Apparently it's still awaiting first party certification, so Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo still have to accept it. So it sounds like it's ready. But it's not accepted by the third party, so they can't release it right away.
Wait, where did you get that info?
It says it on the actual page.
I saw that they're still finishing touches on Rocket ID, and it said that they want to make sure
there's... We're talking about Rocket Pass.
No.
Oh, why Rocket Pass? Oh, yeah. Okay. See, this is the problem. Everything's Rocket this, Rocket that. I forgot what Rocket we're talking about.
So, yeah, it's waiting first party certification. I'm guessing they're still working on it a little bit, but the main point, the main like features of the Rocket ID are ready, and that's what they're trying to get first party certification from. So they're delaying Rocket ID till September. So, sometime next month, we're getting it. Yes.
Why or what reason would one of these cross platforms deny the Rocket Pass?
It's probably
No.
I don't think that's the problem.
It's actually Rocket ID.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's a problem with them accepting it. I think it's just they... So, talking with devs, I've found out that they're trying to work towards having something like Fortnite, because Fortnite have updates like every week, even on consoles, so... The idea is Rocket League wants to go in that direction too, but they have to release, they have to get updates ready, and they have to get them authorized. Like they send one thing to the platforms, they get that accepted, and a week later they send another, but that update's gonna have to wait a week. So they're gonna have weekly updates. They're trying to force their way into having weekly updates and not have to wait like the ridiculous amount of time we used to have to wait for console updates.
So they might be trying to also squeeze in a couple additional benefits with the Rocket ID that might be kind of hindering the negotiations from pushing forward. For instance, you know, there's still that rule where PS4 players cannot interact with Xbox or Switch players.
Yes.
And so that means that if we're going to start doing cross platform parties, you could have, you know, if you have PS4 players in your party or slash lobby of the game, then it'll only be cross platform parties. And that really muddies up matchmaking if you think about it, because after you introduce, you know, cross platform parties, it gets weird because you're going to have parties that are, you know, PC and PS4 against like, and there are going to be parties that are like PC, Xbox, and that rules out like these PC players and like other players to try to match as potential like other teams in the queue.
I don't think it'll hurt matchmaking that much. Because it has to stay that way.
What I mean is for the matchmaking server, it complicates the logic.
Right, so they're probably pushing something as far as
acceptable matches that you can put another team against.
Right.
They might be trying to break that barrier and push through to get Sony to finally release their hold on cross-console integration, because that's it's always been the issue. Sony will not allow cross-console integration, which is kind of really annoying.
I'm still doubtful that'll happen, though.
And there's always the issue doing cross networking with Nintendo. Nintendo is very, very cautious and guarding of their cross-platform features because Nintendo offers part of the experience to its consumers is the family-friendly online interaction. If you've ever used any sort of Nintendo branded like online interaction thing, you usually can't send messages or like text things. And if you can, it's very, very, very scripted and on rails because they want to make sure that they know that their large user base is small children.
Yes.
So there's a couple difficulties in getting the approval to push through on all the parties involved. I can understand why that would take some time.
Yeah. But that was basically it that they talked about in the cross-platform parties announcement.
Hey, speaking of making sure everyone has a good old time online,
we got the language ban system. It's been out for a year now, everybody. Think about that.
Wow. I do remember when they announced that they're doing language bans.
So and Thor, that's they call it, Thor.
Is it because he brings the ban hammer down? I bet you it's because he brings the ban hammer down.
Isn't that what all basically banning systems call their device or system is the Thor?
You know what I call, so we actually have a name for mine at work. We have it's not a banning system, but it's like a safety system.
Okay.
A guarding system. I call it Talos. It's a Greek Titan. he's a giant automaton made of bronze made to protect Europa.
Oh my God. What did they talk about in this post?
So they talked about how they've levied over 520,000 bans on more than 283,000 accounts.
520,000 bans, and 500,000 of those were my reports.
Were what?
So that means...
my reports. They were
the
result of me reporting players.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Were half of them your teammates?
Yes. All of them were my teammates.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Of these accounts, 66% were banned once. So 34% were banned multiple times, including and chat bans.
That's a pretty high amount. Let's
hang on, gentlemen.
34% of 520,000.
Hang on. We said we're not great at math.
Wrong numbers.
But 66% were banned once. 34% were banned multiple times. That's 101% of people banned, guys. I don't know who is in charge of the math department at Psyonix, but yes. They done goofed real good. I'm sure it's a decimal sort of thing. I'm sure they're rounding up and down there, but it's funny to think about.
66 plus 34 equals 100, right?
So one of the stats that I'm actually surprised about. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything.
I am actually bad at math. It's a good thing I edit the episode so I can cut this whole part out.
Don't.
Oh, that's interesting. 34% were banned multiple times. Move on.
Okay, so Nox, take your math skills and don't do this, okay? But 34% were banned multiple times.
That's a lot of
283,000 accounts. 34% of that was multiple times.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
That's a lot of people who...
That's a big number.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it has to be that way if you think about it. 520,000 bans on 283,000 accounts. The math works out that there were a lot of people banned multiple times.
Yeah.
But it wasn't everyone, so that doesn't mean like the most common offenders. So I'll come out clean. There was that one time I was banned. I am one of these 520,000 bans. I am not one of these 34% that was banned multiple times. That's and good. I've talked about it before. I actually did not, like, it was an automated ban. They played the system and got me banned, like, by the automated system, because I was not being toxic when I got banned.
You just used a bad word.
I used a bad cuss.
Yep. Ninja, are you clean?
I'm clean.
You've never been banned from this new banning system?
Man, I wish I could say that.
What was interesting, though, is that 94.4% of players actually returned to play a game after they were banned, though.
That's pretty cool. Actually,
that's pretty awesome.
I'm surprised.
Lower than I would have expected.
Yeah, I'm surprised that many people actually stopped playing after they were banned.
5.6% of people who received a ban from the game
stopped playing.
Said, yeah, you know what? I'm done. I'm good crashing job, this plane into an island.
You did math right.
But that's so weird. Like, why would you just stop playing a game you're playing? Just because.
I mean,
you got banned.
I made a kid uninstall once.
He says he's going to uninstall, but do you know he did?
Yeah, because I tried to add him and his account wasn't there.
But
66% of all bans are game bans. So yeah,
this is what I'm really interested in. What do you have to do to get a game ban?
You can't really. I mean, can you even really hack Rocket League?
They used to hand out game bans for the toxicity, but then they switched that to just being chat bans. Yeah,
and crate farmers. Crate farmers are one of them.
Okay, so crate farmers.
What about leaving ranked? Don't you get a game ban for that?
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah,
exactly what they are. It is, yeah.
Okay. Well, no wonder there's 520,000 bans then.
But those 520,000 bans, I think, is only chat?
No, that can't be.
No, it's game and chat.
Yeah, it's game and
chat. Wow.
So, Ninja, if you've ever left a ranked game and gotten banned for 5 minutes, you are not clean. I am guilty.
I mean, I
no wonder it's been over 66% of all bans are game bans. That makes a lot more sense now.
I'm guilty then, Ninja. Are you?
A long time ago, yes. I haven't done it in quite a while.
But when I tried to stream 2 weeks ago, my game crashed.
And you got banned. Yes, I think I watched that stream.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. In my book, that wouldn't count.
And so another stat they included just for the fun of it was all the bans back-to-back accumulated over 2,700 years, 142,000 weeks, or more than 86 billion seconds.
That's 86 billion seconds of toxicity we didn't have to deal with as a community. So let's just round of applause for Psyonix.
I like it.
Did anybody actually go in a circle when they did that?
No, because we're not in elementary school.
Round of applause? Get it right.
Hey, yeah, I want to talk about a new mechanic. This one is fresh off of the press this week.
Yes. Actually, I started like 2 days ago.
Yeah, literally like 2 days ago. So you're getting some hot news. Good thing we didn't record last week because you wouldn't have heard
about it. I burned myself on it.
There's a new mechanic called the ground reset. It's got like some... The player tried putting his name in front of it and some people are catching on. Other people are just calling it ground reset. I'm sick of this whole thing like, oh, I discovered something. I'm a pioneer. I need my name remembered and all of the history of Rocket League. No, we don't have the... Okay, the Phoenix Flick is a very difficult thing that only Nox Phoenix can do, so that's different. As soon as... If you see other people start pulling off the Phoenix Flick, then
just call it a flick.
We'll call it something else. Yes. No, this ground reset is an interesting mechanic. So it all started... Actually, it started about a week and a half ago. There was a player at the end of the game who did this weird like wheelie thing accident when he was doing like a goal celebration. So the game ended because they got a 0 second goal and he tried to do this weird, just like he just basically was just like spamming jump or whatever and boost and you know, like players do. And he got into this weird situation where as soon as he landed on the ground, his like front wheels lifted up and he did a wheelie and like boosted for about 3 seconds across the map in his celebration.
Okay.
And he posted it as a GIF, like, hey, thought this was interesting. I didn't know if it was, like, able to be replicated or anything. And it was chalked up, everyone said, as a, like, a server recorrection. Like, he on his screen, he backflipped, but the server said, oh, you actually didn't have your flip, and so it did that, like, weird thing.
Okay, yeah.
But then a lot of players said, like, well, hang on a second. He's showing us a replay file here, and replays are always what the server sees, so this actually happened somehow. And so a couple players started to dissect it, and they were able to figure out that, yes, it could be replicated, and taken even further. Here's the premise of what happens. You pretty much take your front wheels down at the same angle as if you were going to do like a half flip, except your front wheels instead of your back.
Yes. And right? you have to have like no momentum doing this too.
No. You can do this at supersonic.
Okay. Well, most there people are players aren't that are doing it.
Yeah. You can do this at any speed, which is interesting. Basically you don't have to do any fancy flip cancels, anything like that. It's not that complicated. You just have to take your hand off of the accelerator and hold drift. And as your front wheels hit, about a half second after your front wheels hit, before your back wheels hit, you press jump again. What will happen is your car is doing a corrective momentum to rotate your back wheels down to the ground. And then at the same time, it will try to do a jump. When it does that, there's a split second where the suspension will keep your front wheels on the ground from the jump, and your back wheels will slam down towards the ground from the downward momentum, and you'll get the a little bit of the momentum of the jump, and your front end will spike right up, all right?
That's where you lose your momentum.
Here's where it gets interesting.
I broke it into rocket car.
Yeah, who freaking comes up with this crap? Since your nose is pointed in the air, you can hold boost.
Yes.
And actually climb into the air from this position. And the reason this is crazy or beneficial is you still have your jump.
Or jump.
Yeah. You will actually be able to maintain your jump infinitely and fly in the air.
Okay, all you freestylers, here you go.
This one is another one where I'll say, like, hey, this is going to probably start being used in places. There have already been GIFs of people scoring goals where instead of, like, doing a normal, like, pop-up air dribble, they'll do this little, like, ground reset in front of the ball as it bounces, and they'll carry it up into an air dribble and then actually have a crazy flick like 2 seconds after they carried the ball through an air dribble. There's also a player who showed that you can do this off of the wall, which is insane, so meaning you can get wall jumps.
So I have been watching this, and I gotta say, off the wall seems more practical. The rest, it not does. Really. Well, the rest is like a ones, maybe twos mechanic. But in threes, you'll never want to do that because you'll lose all your boost. And you'll become useless for a while. Yeah, probably not.
It does take a significant amount of boost to get up pretty high.
Well, so from what I've noticed, 100 boost will only get you like halfway up to the ceiling. That's not very high up.
They asked the creator to give a GIF of him turning unlimited boost off and showing
I did watch what that, you can do. That's still halfway up to the ceiling.
He got pretty high on one of them. There are cases where people are almost getting to the ceiling.
Can you use his second jump to get up a little higher, like the fast aerial?
No. The whole point is to save that jump. Like this, you can save your flip as long as you want, is basically the whole idea. The wall one is definitely going to be super useful because just by the nature of the mechanic, it tilts your nose up away from whatever surface you jump off of. And so on the wall, that's the middle of the map. Yes. Like you can go at a diagonal towards the wall and it will peel you off the wall towards the middle of the map, meaning you can do some pretty crazy stuff to save your jump for some high flying aerials. It's
a good 50-50 tactic.
Probably not a 50-50 tactic. It's
You're going for a shot with that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to set up. Like in terms of like Rocket League time, like it takes a half second to, you know, hop up to the surface you're going to jump off of, because you can't just like go to the surface and jump off. You have to like hop to it and then like peel off of it. And it takes a good second.
Off the wall, you kind of get some good momentum because you're not trying to go up where the gravity's telling you no. Off the wall,
have either of you guys
kind of can keep it. I had just got home.
Have either of you guys got to attempt this mechanic yet?
I just got home, so I couldn't really try it. It's been talked about.
I didn't know this mechanic existed till 5 minutes ago.
I spent probably about 30 minutes tonight just working on it. And it's not that tough. I can pull them off. I can consistently get my front wheels off of the ground when I'm doing the jump. Here's the weird thing. I don't often get my jump reset. I will actually do the proper, like my front end will pop up and I'll like peel off of the ground properly. But I'd say only about half the time do I actually maintain my second jump. So it's pretty tricky because several times it'll look like you actually did it 100% perfectly fine. And then you'll just go to like flip and you're like, oh, I don't have it. Like, that's weird. And I haven't quite noticed the difference between the times that I do have my flip and don't have my flip. As far as doing it off the wall, shoot, man, that's tough. I have not pulled that off yet. That's really freaking hard.
I don't know. I'm not thinking it'll be used as much. Just like the ceiling shuffle. I don't think it's going to be competitively viable.
Say this every time. Don't be shocked when you start seeing people figure out competitive viability for doing it, because the half flip, the wave dash, all of things started out this way.
Those I could have seen them at first, because you have a lot of momentum. It's just recovery mechanics.
People said this about ceiling shots. People said this about the wolf dash. Justin has done both in the RLCS.
I don't know what the dash thing is.
The wolf dash?
Yeah.
The wolf dash is a double wave dash using the wobble of the octane. Oh,
well, that's still a a recovery mechanic.
Yeah, it's a recovery, but it's an unnecessary one. Well, I mean, like, it's a benefit. They all have a benefit, and if you can figure out to outweigh the cons in favor of the benefit in a match...
It's going to be hard to outweigh the cons of the ground reset because how much boost you have to use.
I mean, the wall, the way that you use it off the wall, I'm telling you.
Guess we'll have to see.
I personally probably will not learn this mechanic for a little while.
Okay, I'll get up on a pedestal about that for a second.
I'm not going to learn it.
These new mechanics and stuff that come out, there's no reason not to actually practice and try it. I'm not saying that you need to learn to do it because it's going to be necessary in games and that like it's a worthwhile thing. Like, no, you're right. If you're not like sort of the best of the best, you're not going to start seeing this in games for a long time if it ever shows up. But... one of the best things I've ever done, like I've take time to learn all these new things. I haven't got the ceiling shuffle yet. That one's tough, but, this weird, you know, the weird, like wheelie slide, the weird, like this new dash thing, the Phoenix flick. I've always thought that it was really beneficial to learn these things because it actually gets you used to interacting with your car and the physics of the game in an interesting way. And it helps your car control. I will say that it does just like help your perception of how you control your car in the game and help you just get more comfortable with what your car can do. And just the timing of things. It's good for the hand-eye coordination. I think it actually is a good, valuable thing to actually just take time to... There's a whole reason that like professional golfers can juggle a golf ball on the end of their golf club for a long time. It's not a great skill. Like, it's not terribly useful in golf to be able to do that, but they get a handle for the weight of their club, the way that the ball interacts with the club, like all that sort of stuff is like benefit because it's that extra 10% you're pushing yourself towards. So that's my 2 cents about practicing these things.
Take your 2 cents back.
Fine. I'll just move on to our next segment. Ninja super happy. Esports fun time.
All right. So I'll try to get through this as quick as possible. So
do it
this week or today. Actually, Garrett G announced,
hey, I know you said you're going to go quick, but I'm going to interrupt you real fast.
Okay, yes. What?
It's going to be real tough to do this segment because a lot of the stuff was announced last
week.
Yes. And Vodka and I had some very authentic reactions to some of this news, but now it's old news to us. So yeah.
we're gonna try to
manufacture that energy as if this is the first time we're hearing it.
This one's gonna be your first time hearing it, maybe, unless you were watching Twitter today. Garrett G announced that they will be playing at under NRG again, so they re-signed with NRG.
Ooh. What?
Didn't see that one coming.
It's something, so There's that. Bluey Devo Alpha are teaming up under Savage, so Bluey, I guess he's not going to be playing under PSG. Looks like PSG actually just dropped him as a sub, so...
What?
He's getting his
That's
chance.
Crazy! Never saw that coming!
I didn't hear about that at all.
Aeon, Astro, Moses are teaming up as compadres. K99 Jr., Prem, and Gambit are teaming up as Simple. Seth, UA...
I played against Aeon yesterday. Aeon was the sub on Soar when back in the day.
Oh, really?
So the thing, like, I'm not sure I ever, like, said this on, like, the podcast or whatever, or in any kind of public fashion. So, I met Aeon because when he had 400 hours in the game, he climbed to Grand Champ. And this was when I was on like I was looking for teams and another player had like noticed like, all right, fine. Like I'll team up with you. Like you look like you're progressing fast. We didn't like the third. So he and I decided to split off and like make our own sort of thing,
okay. Which
is when we got the org deal dropped in our laps, from Iridium. Iridium had like sought out and like got the org deal and he was like, hey, bring us in. And then I was like, cool. I think we need like some strong players though, which is how we picked up Sham and like Stev. All the while, like, you know, like we were evaluating Aeon, like, hey, we're gonna keep Aeon in our back pocket because like he's not like amazing right now, but he's progressing ridiculously fast. Like Grand Champ at 400 hours is nuts.
Yes.
That's crazy. And so it's funny that like after we had those sort of like teammate differences on Soar and I was let go and they decided to kind of like pick up Schwind instead of make Aeon like the third main. Like that's an interesting kind of thing. Like I don't understand like why no one would realize that he's going to be such a powerful asset. And then he went on to Lights Out and now he's going and playing with like names that have four times the amount of hours as him.
Yeah.
So he's nuts. He's absolutely nuts.
Definitely. So Sathu, AXB, and Sipical are teaming up as Bread. Vince, Halcyon, and Rapid teaming up as Magicians. Jake leaves Chiefs.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you leave the Chiefs? What possible deal could you get to step down from like...
He retired.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's...
That was a better reaction last week.
Can I say something about Bread?
Okay.
Yeah?
They're toast.
Oh my God. You're fired. And the shortest tenure of a podcast host is that.
You said that I need to be good at puns.
I did. I didn't say that you needed to use them on the show.
True.
It's just a skill that you have to have.
Yes.
Hey, okay. I don't write the rules. I just make
Big
them
Big Vladdy, you'll be getting an email from me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So when we talked about this last week, it's going to, like, I'll just... his tweet basically said that he wanted to not focus on competitive, but he still wants to be involved and he'll be looking to like coach and
yes. All
sorts of like stuff to stay involved in Rocket League, which I thought was the most buck wild thing. But just because that's different from how I would do things if I were in his situation, you know, to be at the top of my game and to be really, you know, doing well, that means I respect him all the more for it, that he has enough introspection to say like, you know what, this competitive pro scene isn't for me.
Yeah.
So, more power to you.
Okay, so along with that, Scrub has joined Vitality, so Scrub's playing in the RLCS.
Gotcha.
OverZero, Red, and Killer Icon are playing as Inception. Zensis, Flarky, Cheerio are playing as Lost Milkers. The X-Envy roster are playing as We Them Girls, not a big surprise.
Their RLCS Season 1 handle.
Yes.
We Them Girls.
And... Data, El Dente, and Godzmilla are signing with Nordavind, which is a pretty big EU org.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. That was it in Super Happy, Ninja Super Happy Esports Fun Time.
That's it's fun. Yeah, with the we have week one of the RLRS qualifiers passed. And so some of these teams are having to go through the RLRS qualifiers, and some of them have already made it to week two. So,
yep.
There you go. That brings us to the segment where we talk about how we play the game each week, our experiences and adventures through Rocket League. It's the weekly whiffs. Ninja, how was your week?
So,
in Rocket League,
I didn't really play much this week.
You're fired.
I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting for my I'm patiently waiting for my 144 hertz monitor that I ordered. It should be here by tomorrow or the day after. So I'm gonna.
You're slacking, classic Canada. Ninja.
Yes.
You're slacking.
I'm not slacking.
You're saying I had a 144 hertz monitor before you?
Yes.
You're slacking.
You had money. I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Well, how'd you get a 144 hertz monitor?
Boy, going this long without playing Rocket League, that probably hurts.
I kind of touch it like for a few minutes every day. No, that
probably like 144 hertz.
Oh my god.
Knocks your fire. Just the door's over there.
Yeah! No one out puns the knocks.
The door is over there.
This is why he told you don't do puns on the show. Only because he can.
Only, yeah, they're reserved for me.
So, yeah, I've just been playing casual, like, an hour a day. That's pretty much it. If an hour a day, I've been taking it slow.
All right, Night Phoenix.
How was your week?
How was your week?
It was pretty been good. I've been playing with, some guys who are a lot freaking better than me.
Oh, yeah.
I'd kind of missed just the idea of doing weekly tournaments and ESLs and stuff with like the same, you know, kind of people over and over again. Basically, you know, the experience of being on a competitive team.
Yeah.
I'd been missing that. And, you know, I've been pretty much, it's no secret that I've been done with competitive for a while now. But I figured, hey, if I can find like, you know, a consistent couple guys that wants to team up and do the RLRS qualifiers and that sort of stuff. So I went to like, you know, the RL competitive subreddit and just looked at some posts to see who's like looking for people. And I found these guys, that were looking for a third. And so I, you know, like, sure, why not? Like I'll go, like they're holding like a kind of like formal tryouts or whatever. So I tried out with them and, they were both like 1800 GC. And, we didn't do bad. Like we won most of our matches and stuff, but, I was like, there's no way, like, you know, they're going to like, I think I might've even been champ two when we started. Like I ended up champ three after playing with them and stuff for a couple days. But then when they were like, hey, you're our third. And I was like, whoa, I don't understand how of all of the people that tried out that they actually decided to choose like me. I don't know what grift I was able to pull off to get myself in the situation I'm in. But now I have to freaking deliver because I don't want to hold these guys back from an opportunity.
If you want to, I'll give these guys a call and tell them you're not worth it.
Oh, I tell them that every single day we play.
So,
but we're already signed up for the RLRS qualifiers. We got this Saturday that's coming up. We'll be playing. No, we didn't play last week. It's this. We're qualifier two and qualifier four was the ones we're signed up for.
Okay.
Here's the fun. All right, no, so you've heard that I haven't said the team name. That's because it's actually representing an order. And
we don't speak of this on here.
I'll be playing for another podcast.
The 72 fired, you're gone.
The 72 pin connector podcast is a gaming focused podcast, and that's who's actually the org that's this team is playing for. So I'm playing not even for my own podcast in the RLRS.
Hey, Knox.
Yeah.
Don't let the hedge maze hit you on the way out.
Yeah. Well, hey, Vodka, how was your weeks in Rocket League?
It was pretty good. I picked up ranked for the first time in probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
So played that. I lost champ.
Oh.
In threes.
Probably because you haven't played ranked in 2 weeks.
Yep, I lost my rank, got unranked, and then re-ranked myself. And I started out Diamond 3, Division 3. And so I'm going to find a few guys, grind back up to champ. But doubles have been pretty good. I'm up to Diamond 2, Division 3. Pretty happy with that. It's where I ended last season. So other than that, I've just been chilling, playing casual with a lot of my friends. So
that's good.
What? Yeah, that's kept you from ranked for the last 2 weeks?
I just felt like ranked was pushing my boundaries or pushing my buttons in a sense of I wasn't doing well. And so I kind of took a step back and was like, I don't need to try to tilt this hard over a video game. So I stepped it back for a week or two. And then I'm just starting to pick it back up again. And it's going great.
Hey, that's good. I wanted to make light to a tool that you may not have known exists, and maybe to anyone else that might be interested in functionality like this, BoxMod or BoxMod, B-A-K-K-E-S, yeah, whatever anyone wants to call it, actually has a feature where it can hide your rank and division throughout the entire game. So you can queue ranked and never know what your rank is. That seems actually like a pretty attractive. I've thought about doing it like several times, and I probably actually will install this week and do it.
So does that hide it from main menu screen and end of game screen?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it hides like all like sort of like rank context, so you can't even see what like kind of rank your teammates are and stuff. So it's a pretty cool tool. It also does like the opposite of stuff, like it shows like your MMR and like how much you gain and win and all sorts of fun stuff like that. But like it has several cool different like online interaction things that you can do. It's even got a feature where it'll like say auto, like it'll auto say GG as soon as the match ends and fun stuff like that.
Okay.
So awesome. Yeah, I recommend it because I like the online experience in ranked over casual because you don't have to deal with people leaving and joining all that time and playing against bots. I agree that it can be very tilting when you're just worried game to game about points and maintaining your division and like always constantly maintaining this uptrend, and you don't focus so much on the actual playing of the game anymore, and that's kind of what I would like to get back to as well. So I think I'll be installing it this week.
I'll definitely look into that.
Speaking of this week, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 119. Sorry it was a week late. We really did have some technical issues. We did, not joking, we did record an episode last week and it didn't make it. It just didn't make it. And we're sorry about that. But we're happy to come back. Not crashing
into the island.
We are happy to be back this week and officially announced that Vodka is coming on time. We're very excited to have him. He's been helping out with the podcast for quite a while now, and he was a pretty obvious choice when he actually had some synergy with us on air as well. We're happy to have him. I want to let you know that now that we do have our official third back, next week we're going to bring back the live episodes on Twitch. So next week, next Tuesday, the 21st, make sure you head over to twitch.tv/livefrommanfield at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can catch all three of us at face value. Get it? it's a pretty
doors
fun
over there.
Pretty fun visual experience, which we're excited to bring back some of the stuff that we get to do live, like our Twitch chat, chit chat, all that sort of stuff. Make sure you join our Discord. You can get that from either our Twitch channel, our website, or whatever. A friend that listens to the show, you can get a hold of our Discord. It's a pretty fun place to come hang out, find friends, play games with us. Vodka has already volunteered to play with anyone that says, "Hey, I want to play games with people in the,
always,
in the lobby."
I'm in.
Yeah, he always plays games with people.
Head over to patreon.com/LFManfield if you would like to support the show on a weekly basis. You can pay whatever you see fit per episode, starting at $1 all the way up to $25 an episode. Of course, we would never try to, you know, talk you into such a crazy thing, but there are people who do it, and I want to say a big thank you to the people who support us on patreon.com, starting with our Grand Champ patron, Crunchy. It's crunch time. And of course, our champion patron, yo, it's D-Lo. He's Mr. Steal Yo Goal. And of course, we have Diamond Patrons, Fecal Frenzy. That shit's crazy. Ty Dizzle, Fo Shizzle, My Nizzle. And
it's the new one.
We have a new one. Upgraded from silver, or from gold to
silver.
Diamond.
Silver.
Silver? No, he went from...
Yeah, he went from silver. Yeah.
Silver to diamond. Hey, Nox, what did you do to this guy?
All right. So he tweeted after he became a silver patron, was like, "Hey, I'm happy to be a patron, but how come I didn't get like a shout out?" And you know, like, we would love to give all of our patrons shout outs like at the end, but 15 minutes
later.
Like it would take like 15 freaking minutes because we're so fortunate to have so many patrons that support us. So we cap that at platinum and above. But I accidentally forgot how much was each tier, and I told him on Twitter that it's diamond and above, so he became a diamond patron. So you can edit that back to platinum if you want. I didn't mean to try to con you into more money. I would never want to do that, Mr. Stone Hoops. But Vodka, I believe you have an honorific for this man, though, since he's here with us now.
I do. Stone Hoops, been shooting hoops since SART BC.
I like that one a lot.
All right. Platinum patrons. The stunt guy, he's tricked out.
Johnny Kooks, he's cuckoo for Rocket League. And Spook, it's Casper.
Dawson with a V, not a creek. And Marl Fox, the foxiest patron. Henry, the one and only.
And ex-Poseidon making waves. And Pickett's my main man.
Thank you to the Fat Rat for the use of our theme song, Xenogenesis. He lets us use it for free. And with a host of a lot of other awesome music, you should check out at his website or SoundCloud or Bandcamp or wherever you want to. Just search for The Fat Rat. Make sure you join us next week when we hire random people off Craigslist to record for us because we're lazy. Until then, I'm Nox Phoenix.
I'm Sip Fan.
And I'm Vodka Ice. And may the Faith House be ever in your favor.